From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Today is the last day of Hollywood's biggest summer season ever. Pirates, wizards, ogres, and superheroes collected more than $4 billion at the box office. That's up 14% from 2 years ago, when a deep summer slump led to talk of movie theaters becoming obsolete. Well, now comes cooler weather and, at least theoretically, more nuanced movie making. Our critic Bob Mondello has a selective fall preview.
After a summer of pure escapism, Hollywood has decided that this fall, audiences are ready for something real.
Do you want to win the war on terror? Yes or no? This is the quintessential yes or no question of our time. Yes or no?
That's Tom Cruise in Robert Redford's Lions for Lambs, one of 10, count them, 10 fall films dealing with post-9/11 conflicts. Some are gung-ho action flicks, like The Kingdom, in which the FBI goes to Saudi Arabia.
This is not America.
Your team cannot work at night.
You're not safe.
Oh, we're safe during the day, huh?
Other war zone movies examine human costs, rescuing a child in Afghanistan in The Kite Runner, and offering a soldier's eye view of Iraq from multiple Oscar winner Paul Haggis.
I hated it over there. I couldn't wait to get out. After 2 weeks here, all I want to do is go back.
I shouldn't send heroes to places like Iraq.
As might be expected of the writer-director who made Crash, the film In the Valley of Elah raises questions about human and governmental fallibility. A similar skepticism informs Rendition, in which Reese Witherspoon learns that her Egyptian-born husband, secretly held by the U.S. overseas, will be interrogated by foreign authorities.
There are 7,000 people in central London alive tonight because of information we elicited just this way.
Please don't walk away from me! You have my husband! Just tell me he's okay!
Just for the record, while war movies are a big genre this fall, Hollywood seems generally to be in a somber mood. It's tackling immigration in the Harrison Ford drama Crossing Over, corporate corruption in the George Clooney thriller Michael Clayton, and that old movie standby drug dealing in a whole slew of movies, including American Gangster, starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
My investigation indicates that Frank Lucas is above the mafia in the dope business.
This is my home. This is where my business is, my wife, my mother, my family. This is my country. I ain't going nowhere.
Directed by Ridley Scott, American Gangster looks, in its trailers at least, like an African-American version of Scarface. Happily, not everything will be so downbeat. Unlike the comedies of summer, fall comedies tend to be aimed at adults, but they still come in all shapes and sizes. Intellectual romantic comedy, say, in the Jane Austen Book Club.
Emma and Mr. Knightley, you just never feel the sex.
Austin's all about keeping it zipped.
I could use a little encounter in the woods with Mr. Darcy right now.
There will also be a road movie comedy. Wes Anderson sends three battling brothers railroading across India on the Darjeeling Limited.
What are you doing in this place?
Well, originally, I guess we came here on a spiritual journey.
You don't love me!
Yes, I do!
I love you too, but I'm gonna mace you in the face!
But that didn't really pan out.
An animated Disney princess also goes on a journey in Enchanted to an unanimated New York, where her usual strategies don't work.
How does she know?
Don't see. It's okay. You know, let's just walk.
And no season would be complete these days without a digitally animated movie, in this case, Jerry Seinfeld's Bee Movie. That's bee as in the kind that buzzes.
You're talking to humans. You're flying outside the hive.
How did this get here?
It's just honeyberry.
This is stealing. Cute bee, golden blossom, Ray Liotta private select. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
You have a plan?
Yes, plan B.
Plan B elsewhere in Hollywood will be remakes. The Farrelly brothers and Ben Stiller redoing the 70s comedy The Heartbreak Kid, about a bridegroom who falls for someone he meets on his honeymoon. The murder mystery Sleuth with Michael Caine, who was a young interloper in the 70s version, playing an older role this time opposite Jude Law's interloper. And the 50s western 310 to Yuma, in a more action-oriented version, with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale in roles originally played by Glenn Ford and Van Heflin.
What are you doing out here, Dan? You got a family to protect.
Well, talk to me like you know me, Wade. We ain't friends.
There's gonna be 30, 40 more guns out there now.
310 to Yuma will be followed just 2 weeks later by another Western, a beautifully shot art house Western with a lengthy running time to go with a lengthy title, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
It is interesting the many ways you and I overlap. You're the youngest of three James boys, and I'm the youngest of five Ford boys. You have blue eyes, I have blue eyes. You're 5'8" tall, I'm 5'8" tall. I honestly believe I'm destined for great things, Mr. James.
You're giving me signs that make me wonder. Can't figure it out. Do you want to be like me, or you want to be me?
Despite the presence of Brad Pitt as Jesse James, this film is considered a tough sell because it's a character study, not a shoot-'em-up. Other offbeat efforts include an Old English literary classic, Beowulf, run through the digitized motion capture technology used for the Polar Express, a documentary called My Kid Could Paint That, about a four-year-old whose canvases started selling for thousands of dollars a few years ago, a jukebox musical called Across the Universe that uses Beatles music to tell a new story about a guy named Jude and his friends Lucy, Jojo, and Prudence, and I'm Not There, a Bob Dylan biopic in which six different actors play Bob Dylan, including, oddly enough, Cate Blanchett.
You're kidding me, Rick. I can't watch this. How does
it feel? If you want to see Cate Blanchett in a more conventional role, she's also returning to a royal part she played 9 years ago in the film Elizabeth. Of course, the filmmakers couldn't call this one Elizabeth II because she's still playing Elizabeth I, so they called it Elizabeth the Golden Age.
This Spanish armada is at sea with an army of 10,000 men.
There is a wind coming that will sweep away your pride.
I too can command the wind, sir! I have a hurricane in me that will strip Spain bare if you dare to try me!
Is that Oscar emoting I hear? Well, it's certainly Oscar season, and there are a lot of performers attracting awards talk, including Jodie Foster playing a public radio personality in The Brave One, a public radio personality turned secret vigilante.
It is astonishing to find that inside you there is a stranger.
I killed a man tonight.
Now, I've asked around a bit, and this public radio vigilante thing doesn't seem too common here, but then I haven't gotten to everyone, and who knows what Susan Stamberg does on her own time. She tells me she goes to Doris Day movies. I'm Bob Mondello.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.